Bible informs us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the following. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The Bible is filled with examples of how God supplies people's needs, how he provides for their needs. Often in the Old Testament and in the first century, those needs were provided miraculously. And while he doesn't do that today, he still provides for us in a multitude of ways. Matthew 6:33 tells us that. But tonight I want to look at an example in the Old Testament. It's a very short account. 7 verses is all it is. But it's an account of how God provided for a widow. How God provided for a widow. And maybe it'll bring some things to light that we haven't thought about in a long time. 2 Kings chapter 4 is where the account is found. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. We'll read that all at one time and then go back and look at two or three points that are significant about God providing. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" A surface reading of that doesn't necessarily reveal how miraculous this truly was. We understand it was a miracle. We understand that God provided in a miraculous, supernatural way. But we'll see how amazing the miracle is when we really get in depth in this account. First of all, we're introduced to a particular woman. It's a particular woman. He introduces us, the writer does, to who she is. She is the wife of one of these sons of the prophets. And you read about these sons of the prophets throughout the Old Testament. Some of the things they did, of course, and were involved in. Other places it talks about the school of the prophets. So she was married to one of these sons of the prophets. And of course these people did, as we see in other accounts, did actually prophesy. And so she's a widow. And what does she do? First of all, we just see that she cried out. But when we look at what that phrase means in the Hebrew, it means, and it's only used when someone is in desperate need for help. That's what the crying out here means. It's not just saying something aloud to get the prophet's attention. It's what you would do if you were in desperate need of someone to come and help. And that's what she does. She's in desperate need. So she cries out to Elisha. And of course, Elisha had took on the mantle of prophecy from Elijah, who had given it to him. And remember, he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit and was given to him. So Elijah here is the main prophet for God's people, the one that we read about anyway a lot. Not the only prophet, but the one that we read most about in this part of the Old Testament. So she cried out to him. She cried out to Elisha. And again, he is the one that is recognized by her as being close to God. She knew about Elisha. He was like the agent of God. and see is she's desperate, so she's crying out to him to help her. People in some ways do the same thing today, but it did show her faith. It showed her faith. Well, here's her crisis. Her husband has died. And that was a crisis, especially in those days. Even more so than today. And today it's a crisis as well, but even more so back at that time. So this woman was in a crisis. And she's destitute. Now, this woman was Jewish. She was raised under the law of Moses. Her husband was one of the prophets, knew the law of Moses. The law of Moses commanded God's people to provide for widows. She shouldn't have been destitute. She shouldn't have owed all this and been in such desperate needs. Somebody wasn't doing their job. And by reading this like kind of a surface reading, we may miss that point. But somebody was supposed to have taken care of her, and they hadn't. There was a responsibility laid upon God's people, the children of Israel, to watch out for widows. Let's turn back to Exodus 22 and see that. Exodus 22, and we'll begin in verse 22. Exodus 22, 22. And then we will be turning to Deuteronomy. Exodus 22, 22. These deal with laws for widows and orphans. It says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless." And notice how he says that. Now that's quite a point he makes there. He says, you're to take care of widows and orphans. This is your responsibility. And he's talking to God's people, the Israelites, and he says, if you don't do that, then I'll make your wives widows. I'll make your children. See how he kind of turns the table on them and tells them that? Now God, when you look at the Old Testament, that law of Moses, God really makes it plain in so many different ways that His people had a great responsibility to take care of these. Take care of widows, take care of orphans. And even when they harvested the fields, they were supposed to do that. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, 19 tells us another way widows were to be taken care of. Deuteronomy 24, 19. We'll see that some of the obligations that people had. Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless. You shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So when harvest time came, whether it's for olives or for the grain or for grapes or whatever, part of it was to be left for the fatherless, the strangers, and the widows. So that was another way they were to be provided for. So there is no way that this woman should have been in the predicament she was in. And that's an important part of this account. God's people were supposed to have been taking care of her. She shouldn't have been destitute. She shouldn't have had to cry out to Elisha for help. So again, somebody had dropped the ball. They were not taking care of this widow like they should. Well, there was another crisis we see again in 2 Kings 4. Not only had she lost her husband, it says, the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And of course, that was permissible back in Leviticus 5 and other places talk about that. I don't know how ethical that might have been, but it was certainly permissible, I guess. So she was concerned now that because she owed so much, and it doesn't say how much she owed or anything, just as the person to whom she owes it is going to come, and then I took my two sons. Then what's she going to do? Things would be even worse for her. So what's going to happen then? So not only has she lost her husband, now she may lose her sons. So she is in real desperate straits, but again, I want to emphasize that she's in that predicament because the children of Israel, God's people, hadn't taken care of her like they were supposed to. It should have never got to this point. It should have never got to where she had to cry out for help to Elisha. Should never have gotten that far. So he comes back, and Elisha says to her, well, what can I do for you? You know, what shall I do for you? What do you want me to do? What can I do? And so he asks, well, what do you have in the house? You know, wanting to know, what do I have to work with, I guess would be another way of putting it. What do I have to work with? What do you have? What can we use to help you in this predicament? To help you out of it? What do you have? She comes back and says, I don't have anything in the entire house but a jar of oil. That's it. Now you see, there's no way she should have got to that point where she was in that bad of shape. No way at all. Where all she had was a jar of oil. And if you look at the Hebrew word for jar, it has to do with the idea of something small that was possibly used to dip out. So we're talking about something really small. That's all she had in the entire house. And this would have been olive oil. And that was it. That's talk about having very little between you and poverty. That was her. So she was in really awful shape, destitute. But also, she was obviously in a point, and maybe by Elisha asking her this question, it helped her focus on the fact that there was no way she could get herself out of this predicament. I mean, she was so destitute, there was no way in the world she could do anything for herself. I mean, she was going to be totally helpless. And so she was basically kind of saying, here's my whole life, you know, do what you can with it because I can't do anything. It's got to the point where I have nothing left except my faith in God. That was the only thing she had left. Kind of a sad story to this point, isn't it? Those first two verses are sad. So we see how desperate the widow's need was. She was in very desperate straits. Well, that's in Elisha's response. Notice that in the next two verses. So he says, go. She needed to do something. You go. Borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Don't just gather a few. And then when you've come in, you'll shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, all she has is a little bit of olive oil. And he tells her, go. See, her faith had to act, didn't it? He could have miraculously just, you know, brought in vessels from nowhere. I mean, God could have done that. And she just stayed in the house and done nothing. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't act that way. He says, you need to go gather all the vessels in your area from your neighbors, your community, whatever. Bring them back. These are, and when he uses the word vessels there, we're talking about crocks. You know, these large pots. So you've got this much olive oil. He says, you go get all of these empty vessels, these empty pots and crocks, as many as you can find. Bring them back and fill them up. And that's so far all he's told her to do. That's it. She's going to have a lot of faith, isn't she? And at that time, that much olive oil would be worth a lot. Olive oil was a pretty precious commodity. You know, it was used for cooking, it was used for cleaning, it was used in medicine, it was used in perfumes. It was used for almost everything. I mean, it was a very basic thing that was highly prized at that time. So having crockfuls of this stuff would have represented a great deal of money. So he told her to do that. She does it. So she went from him. This is how God takes care of the widow. And then they shut the door behind her and her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. She has this much olive oil. That's it. And she has all of these big crocks and pots that are empty. He says, you just keep pouring this much. Just keep pouring. So she keeps pouring. Fills one up, takes it, fills another one up, fills another one up, fills another one up, fills another one up. Started with, you know, tiny little dipper full of olive oil. And what keeps happening? So she says, or in verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he says, there aren't any more. We filled up every last vessel that we got. As soon as that last vessel was filled, what happened to the olive oil? It ceased. That's what it said, right? Ceased right at that point. Filled up all of these big crocks and pots full of this expensive olive oil. And then it ended. So one small little jug or dipper filled up all of those things. Kind of reminds us of Jesus feeding the 5,000, doesn't it? Matthew 14. You know, started out with a few loaves and a few fish. And he just kept dividing it and dividing it and dividing it and dividing it. I don't know how many that would have normally fed. Oh, maybe a dozen people. Ended up feeding more than 5,000. It just kept increasing. That's what happened here with the oil. It just kept increasing. Just kept pouring it out of this little jug or little dipper. And just filled and filled and filled. So when God provided for her, he didn't just provide for her a little bit. He provided, like we say, until her cup ran over. That's what happened. God wasn't limited. God wasn't limited, was he? He could have filled as many vessels as the world had from that little dipper. They could have went throughout the world and found tens or hundreds of thousands of vessels, filled them all up. He wasn't limited in his resources at all. He could have done whatever. So I want to read Psalm 121, or at least part of it. It's a wonderful psalm about God providing. Psalm 121. One of those psalms that the Israelites would sing as they would be going to Jerusalem to one of the feasts. They had kind of specified psalms that they would sing. This was one of them. Psalms 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He'll not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This reminded the Israelites that as they were going to Jerusalem, that God was providing for them. From where does my help come? It comes from the Lord. They were traveling to Jerusalem. And remember, you know, they were traveling up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was kind of elevated, so people would be ascending as they went to Jerusalem. That's why this is one of the Song of Ascents. They would ascend there and they would sing this. One of them, there were a number of them. They would sing this and they would be reminded that their help did not come from people or from their own sources. It came from God. So God was providing for them. That's what he did for this widow. And as is typically the case, God uses other people to supply our needs. He's almost always done that. And the miracles he performed in the Old Testament and New Testament, they were typically, usually done through people. He rarely did something directly from him. Now, he did do that sometimes, but usually it was through people. And that's what he did for the widow here. He knew the widow was destitute. He knew the widow only had a small amount of olive oil. God knew all of those things. God didn't need Elisha to do it, but the widow did. So what did he do? He used Elisha. So God provided for the widow's need through Elisha. We studied this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 6 about how those who are rich in this world are supposed to use their riches for good works, to help those, help other people, to provide for other people. And that's one way that God provides, through those blessings. And so now we go all the way back to this account in 2 Kings, and we see God using Elisha to bless this woman. And I think there's a lot of lessons we might learn from this, but certainly one is that God does provide for what we need, right? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God shall supply all these things. But see, our part was to seek God and His kingdom. That's what the widow was doing. She was seeking God. She wasn't trying to fix her situation herself, even though it wasn't her fault she was in that situation. It wasn't her fault. Her husband had died. God's people were supposed to be taking care of her, and neither one of those was her fault. But she was still in desperate circumstances. So she cries out to God. She cries out for help. She cries out to Elisha. People are crying out to us in a number of ways. And in the way that's the most important, they're crying out for their spiritual needs to be met. And we read in Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your needs through who? Jesus Christ. So the world has a lot of needs, but nothing as great as Jesus Christ. So another thing we can get from this lesson that I think is really important is we need to make sure that we are, to the best of our ability, blessing other people's lives. Blessing other people's lives. It helps them and it helps you. Do you think this helped Elisha? You know it did. Right after this, there's another miracle with another widow that he performs. Another woman. It helped Elisha. It helps us to help other people. We need to be a blessing to other people. And we need to look for ways to help other people. To be involved in good works, to find people who need help. There are people who need help. We need to provide for them. If we can, we need to provide for them. Look for those opportunities. Maybe small things, but look how this small thing turned out. She had this much olive oil, and ended up by being able to sell all the olive oil to take care of her and her sons for the rest of their lives. That's meeting someone's need, to do something that takes care of them for the rest of their lives. And when we tell people about Christ, that can take care of them for the rest of their lives on earth and then into eternity. That's an amazing blessing. And people need that. A lot of people don't recognize it, but they need it. We can go back to the Old Testament and find a lot of examples for us about how we need to live. We need to bless people's lives, and especially we need to bless them by telling them about Christ. And those two are great lessons from this. Now, I want to tell you about Christ, that Christ is there to meet your needs, and the greatest need is forgiveness. The wiping out of all of your sins through Christ. And that's what He says He will supply to you. When you submit to Him, have your sins washed away. And then if you continue to confess Him before men, to continue to repent of your sins, He will continue to cleanse you of your sins. He's going to supply your needs, those spiritual needs, that way. And if you need to come tonight, don't wait, but come as we stand and sing this song.